Good morning, I'm Aaron Winiwski. I'm the pastor here, and it has been quite a week. And we're going to hear more about what went on this week in a moment. First, I want to give some background. It's July. It's the last Sunday in July, and the American flags are on clearance now at Pick and Save and Shopko because we're getting out of this month that is so known for Independence Day, for the 4th of July, for the celebration, the remembrance of the American Revolution. And what I want to do right now is remember 2 years ago in the life of this church, we had a series that we called Revolution. And it was a nine-month series. It started with 3 months about the internal revolution, the revolution that happens inside of a person when the Holy Spirit kind of opens our eyes, wakes us up to the fact that we have been a part of a rebellion against God, that we have been part of an oppression from the devil. See, like the American Revolution was about this, the British Empire oppressing the colonies. It was taxing them and holding them down without giving them any opportunity to live out their God-given rights. And I believe that we have God-given rights, we have God-given freedoms, but we have given them up. We've traded them for what God calls sin and what a lot of us call my way, what I want. We've lived according to what I want. We've lived according to my way, thinking that was freedom. And what we end up finding is that we're bound then to this thing called sin. I think, well, I'm doing this because it's my choice, because I want to do it. And then eventually we get to a point where we go, oh, wait a minute. I am feeling completely empty inside. I've walked away from anything meaningful. I want to stop this and start something new, and yet I find myself in bondage to it, in oppression to it. I'm being taxed. I'm being held down by this thing that I thought was freedom, and I need true freedom. God wakes us up to that as individuals, wakes us up and shows us that He loves us. Shows us, I love you so much, I sent my Son. So that instead of dying in your sin, instead of dying in that slavery, instead of dying in separation from me, you can have eternal life. You won't perish, but will have eternal life. I sent my Son so that your sins could be forgiven. I sent my sons so that your past is gone and your future is new, is fresh. Thank God it's a new day, right? So there's this internal revolution that happens in people who are awakened by God, who are freed by faith in Jesus Christ, who instead of going their own way, say, you have a way, and your way is now my way. I am yours. So there's this internal revolution, and then that changes the way we interact with other people. When individuals who have had an internal revolution come together, there's an interpersonal revolution that happens. It changes the way we interact with one another. There are many commands in Scripture, instructions for believers on how to interact with one another. Encourage each other. Love each other. Confess your sins to each other. Even correct each other. People who have had an internal revolution find that they want that kind of feedback. They want that kind of help. They want that kind of support from other people because they know that in the context of gathered people who have had an internal revolution, there is safety. When someone corrects someone else, it's not done out of pride or out of judgment. It's done out of love. It's done out of encouragement. So there's an internal revolution, and then there's an interpersonal revolution. And these gathered people who have experienced this revolution are the church. And when people gather together and they've had this internal and interpersonal revolution, it spills over. The instructions from Jesus to his disciples were to go and make disciples of all nations. All nations. So there's an internal revolution, there's an interpersonal revolution, and there's an international revolution. There's a worldwide revolution. These words, all nations, can also be interpreted as all people groups, all different types of people, all ethnicities. Go and make disciples internationally. So after that series 2 years ago, after spending 3 months in internal, 3 months in interpersonal, and 3 months in international, we had a group of people from this church who got together and prayed about and discussed, what does that international revolution look like for us? What is our vision for missions? Because up to that point, we had been a church that our plan for missions was focused on planting new churches. And we had three different church planting interns come through this church to learn how to start a new church. We've seen two successful churches planted locally in Merrill and in Wausau, and the church in Wausau has planted a church in Stevens Point. We're looking at a new church in Appleton, a new church in Marshfield. We're still engaged in church planting. What else, though? What's going to keep us from 2 years ago, we were talking about year 10. What's going to keep us from going into the next year in the life of this church without becoming stagnant, without becoming indifferent? So a year ago, this group of people decided that the international revolution, the missions happening here, we're going to start locally. That we would learn how to make an impact on lives by doing it with our, by making an impact with our neighbors, by loving our neighbors well, our literal neighbors. Now we've seen international revolutions going on. Kinsey, who was singing here, recently got back from serving an orphanage in Peru. Preston and Howie are two students here who I am kind of close to. My son and daughter took off for Japan. They're encouraging churches and sharing the love of Christ with people in Japan, where less than half of 1% of people are disciples of Jesus. So we are seeing an international reach, and we're also seeing this local impact that's going on. And it is a revolution. It is a battle that we're engaged in. And it's not a battle against people. Our war isn't against flesh and blood. I heard one pastor say, if it has flesh and blood, it's not your enemy. People are not our enemy. As much as there are certain sections and factions within our culture today who want you to think that other people are your enemy, that we should be divided, that we should be pointing fingers, that we should be finding our corners and fighting battles against one another. If it has flesh and blood, it's not your enemy. The command of Jesus is that we are to love. Love our neighbor, love your enemy, love each other. There just isn't any exception. If it has flesh and blood, the command is to love. The battle, though, is real. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, we get an idea. What is this battle? What is the mission? What's going on? Jesus says, John, a follower of Jesus, is writing this letter to disciples, to the early church. He says, but when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. There's a battle going on. There is real evil. So what we're doing here is more than singing nice songs and learning nice lessons and feeling good about ourselves. We're joining the Son of God in the mission to destroy the works of the devil, to battle the adversary. We get insight into the final battle of the war in the book of Revelation. Well, I talked about Revelation a little bit last week and talked about a letter to a church and said there's some weirder stuff in Revelation that oftentimes we think about, some end time stuff. I really honestly, I didn't think I was gonna dig into that. And yet as I was going through this week and seeing what was happening in backyard missions, the thing that we determined a year ago was going to be our initiative to keep us from being indifferent, to keep us from becoming stagnant, something to pry us out of our seats and put us out in our community. As I was observing that happening, the first day, I was pulling off siding from a man's house, and it was such a neat thing. A guy who has a disability. He's not really old. He's got an injury. He's really got some challenges that keep him stuck. And someone in our church said, I think this guy might need some help. And someone else in our church knocked on his door and said, we've got volunteers. Is there any way that we can help you? And he said, I think so. And then he came back and said, No, I decided that I don't need help. And we really prayed. We prayed for this guy because it really seemed like there was something spiritual going on here. Some kind of battle. So we actually had someone in our church actually wrote him a letter and said, I know first you said you needed help and then you said you didn't need help. Please, don't let anything get in the way of you saying yes. We don't want anything from you. We just want to come alongside you. So we did some work there. There was one point where, you know, I'm ripping off siding and we're listening to the radio and we're listening to the station that like plays hits from the 80s, and I'm having fun with this guy because he used to be a DJ, and so we're trying to see who can name the song the fastest, and we're having a good time. And then Tammy King shows up and says, oh, hi, Pastor Aaron. I'm like, oh, great, now he knows I'm a pastor. And the thing was, what I learned later on, because he said the next day, he said, I'd like to talk to you for a minute. And he had me come into his home, and he said, I've been talking to my dad about some of the challenges that I'm going through, some of the frustrations, and he said, you really need to find a pastor and talk to a pastor and have that pastor pray for you. But when's he going to do that? How is he going to do that? Who's he going to talk to? So for him to hear that there's a pastor at his house right now, for him, it was a miracle. So he told me his whole story, gave me an opportunity to pray for him. So we're seeing, I mean, that's the little bit that I got to see. A little bit, one project. There were 12 different projects that went on this week. So I'm seeing this battle. So at the end of that day, I'm sitting down and nursing my injuries and whatever. I didn't get any serious injuries, but I'm sitting there with Joe Nicolai, who was the job leader on this. And we're sitting in the backyard, and he looks at me and he says, and once again, good triumphs over evil. And I thought, yes, that's what's going on here. That's what's going on. That's what's happening. We're joining the battle, okay? So I experienced that, and then I'm thinking, what am I going to, I'm going to say a little bit today, and then I'm going to turn it over to other people who have other stories. And I'm thinking, well, it's the battle. That's what's going on. And the battle is so clearly seen in Revelation where we see the end. So I am going to talk about that. Revelation chapter 12, starting in verse 7, talks about a war in heaven. There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. Michael is this like general in the armies of God, and we get to hear who the dragon is in a moment. And the dragon lost the battle, and he and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent, called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all his angels. Okay, so this is, in some parts of Revelation, John is talking about things that are happening during that time that he's writing. And in some parts, he's talking about things that couldn't be happening during that time. They must be happening at a future time. And I think that's what's going on here. He's talking about a battle in heaven. And if we look in the book of Job or we look in the book of Ezekiel, we can see points where Satan does have access to God, where he's accusing people in front of God, where he's like a lawyer, where he's pointing at people and saying, this guy, you think he's so great, but I will point out his sins. I will bring his sins in front of you. So in this weird way, Satan has this kind of access to God, not a control kind of access, but he has voice. And this is saying, but then there's a battle and he's thrown out and he's thrown to earth. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens in verse 10, it has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to the earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. And then verse 11, and they, I think they here is talking about the brothers and sisters. I mean, that's what makes sense. Those who were accused before God day and night, the accuser of the brothers and sisters, they have defeated him. So while there was this battle between Michael and the angels and then the devil and his angels, there's also this involvement of the they, which is us, which is disciples of Jesus. They have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb, which we understand to be Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ, who said his mission is to destroy the works of the devil. They have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. Their testimony. Testimony is what someone gives when they're a witness on a stand. It's telling the story. It's experiencing the revolution, the internal revolution that comes from the blood of the Lamb. It's experiencing the interpersonal revolution that comes in the context of a church. It's experiencing the international revolution that comes when we take seriously the command to love our neighbors. It's the blood of the Lamb at work and then telling the story. That is how we enter into the battle with the devil. So we need to be experiencing the blood of the Lamb and we need to be telling the story. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to tell the story. We're going to hear the testimony. Your prayers, your faithfulness and support all overlapped into an amazing week. And none of us was able to be part of all of it. So we're going to take a look at some pictures to help us get a better idea what it looked like before we hear those testimonies. So we're going to watch a video. And remember, we're seeing, I mean, it looks like fun and it looks cool and everything. We are seeing the battle being fought for souls and lives in our community, our own and others. It's fun, it's exciting, and it's for real. Enjoy.
Russ and Tammy, could you guys come up, please? Russ and Tammy King, I asked them if they'd be willing to lead this initiative many, many months ago, and they didn't know what they were getting into. I didn't fully know either. I looked at them, though, and thought we've got an organizer and we've got a cheerleader. He doesn't wear a skirt, though. So give us a quick update on on what you know what people missed or just what happened. What happened this week?
A lot. Well, I used to be a finance person, so I'll give you a couple statistics first. So over 1,400 hours volunteered this week, and that doesn't include all the planning time, all the cleanup time, all the people time. Many of those hours were spent with people who... who needed to know that they were loved. So that was pretty awesome. Now I'm gonna make my husband. So we met some pretty fantastic people this week, and we also grew our relationships within the church as well. So to all you, I can see Tiffany's crying down there, Kim's crying, you're all crying, thanks a lot, you're no help at all. I think our relationships internally grew so much, and that love just shines out into the community. They can see that we sincerely care about them. They can see that we love them and that God loves them. And we could not have done it without God's help, first of all, obviously, mm-hmm. and then also the fantastic leadership team, all of the volunteers we had, including all the kids, because they did a fantastic job as well. What else did I miss? And the struggle that Pastor Aaron was talking about, the couple weeks leading up to, I can personally attest to the fact that work was crazy. So I had so much to go on to do there. And then there was a few struggles at home. And I think at one of our last meetings before, Nancy and I were talking, and I said, to hell with the devil. We're just going to do it anyway. So we just kept pushing forward, and it was, you know, we got as much from this as any of the nominees did. So.
Cool. Okay, upbeat time now. I'd like to thank everybody in this church who put time, thought, prayers, stuff from their own personal stores at home or whatever to, because I think I gained 10 pounds this week, because I mean, we had three good meals every day, and it was a time to get in just see the works of everybody in this church, but most of all to see the works of God. There were times where we were pulling our hair out and everybody just looked at each other and say, we can't worry about it. Somebody else is bigger than us. Somebody else is taking over. We'll get it done. So, and it went that way the whole week. And it didn't matter if you were four, you would have been 400 years old. People pitched in. The little things added up to big things. The big things added up to praise for God.
Amen.
You know, I mean, I just want to say people have a lot on their plates, but next year, if you got 5 minutes or 5 days, like a lot of people put in 5 days, if you got that time, come and give it to us. We'll find something for you to do, and I'm going to tell you, you'll get back 100-fold.
Yeah.
100-fold. We have some of the people that we went over and fellowshiped with this week, and I'm so happy to see you here because we got room for everybody in our heart.
Yeah.
So please, thank you, and... or like your mom used to teach you, please and thank you. Come and see us. Come and help us. Come and do whatever you can. Like I said, 5 minutes, 5 days. We want you there. This church here is a family, and it's stuck together this week.
All right, cool. So it sounds like you already signed up for next year.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. Cool. All right. Thank you guys so much. I'm going to ask Russ and Marcy to come up. They were part of that group that was praying about what is God leading us to in missions in this church. And as God often does, We landed on this idea of local missions, and yet we've seen people go on international missions as like a bonus. So I want to turn things over to them. I mean, you guys were involved. Marcy, you were co-leading the food effort, which we already had heard was amazing. And Russ, you were one of the project leaders, and you were involved from before we had Backyard Missions. What can you tell us about your experience?
Yeah, so a little bit of a prequel to... I have more than one pair, it's okay. This shirt is about ready to walk around on its own, though. So a little bit of prequel to when Russ and Tammy got plugged in. I don't know how many years ago, she probably 8 years ago? Holy cow. We got together with some other churches in the conference to talk about what they were doing for missions. And looking at expanding our missions to, nothing wrong with our mission of planting churches, but how can we get more people directly engaged in missions? Yeah. And it's really easy for me to look at a job and say, we need this much wood and this much paint and this many screws. But until we got the Kings plugged in to get this team rolling, until we got some of the ladies on the Ouch team plugged in, to be able to look at someone and see the hurt and see the sadness, I don't see that. I'm like Aaron. I had a feeling once. But we need people that can recognize the spiritual needs and the emotional needs. That's not my gift. So it was great to get the Kings plugged in, get this team pulled together, get all of the different needs fulfilled for the teams that we have. And... going into, a month ago, we were still at the point of, do we have enough jobs for the volunteers? Do we have enough volunteers for the jobs? do we have enough money for the materials? Oh, all of these questions, we got together on Sunday night, planned our first day for Monday. Who's going to what job? Who's doing what, where, when? All of that planning. Marcy and Tiffany are trying to plan food. And it's like, how many people do we have? I don't know. How many people are going to be at the lunch celebration on Saturday? I don't know. How many coolers do we need for jobs? I don't know. we had all of these, I have no idea what's going on. It was driving Tammy nuts because she's a numbers person. She told you she used to be finance. And we kept telling her, I don't know, we'll figure it out. And it was a growing experience for all of us. But on the way into town Monday morning, I heard on the radio, after work, we're up at 5 o'clock in the morning coming in to finalize prep for breakfast and finalize our planning to start the week. And I hear, with man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. Mm-hmm. And that really is where this week ended up. Everything dropped into place. I'm up on a roof stripping off shingles, and it's like, I could really use some help up here. And Tiffany rolls up in a van. Guess who got to come on the roof and help me peel off shingles? Everything just clicked into place all week long.
Can I interject for a moment? Because I forgot about that. Because then Tiffany had to leave, but I ended up on that roof with you.
Yep.
And this this was on Tuesday, right? And there was a storm to the north, and we could hear thunder. And I would look over at Russ to see if he was going to look worried or if he was going to say, we better hurry up or anything like that. I'd look up at Russ. He did not move his head. He did not acknowledge. It was like he was just ignoring the fact that there's a huge thunderstorm rolling into the north. And I thought, okay, all right. And then later there was a thunderstorm to the south, and I could see them. And it had just split around this roof job. It was amazing. And then an hour after we got off the roof, it rained. It was amazing. So, you talk about things that we couldn't plan and just trusting God. This is a guy who trusts God, just believes that a storm is not going to fall on top of us, and then it doesn't. So I'm sorry to interrupt, but
no, it's all good. Yeah, we're up on a roof. I'm standing on a roof. There's wood exposed. There's no shingles. There's no paper. There's nothing on this roof. It's not going to rain. It just can't. Because if it rains, it's going right through into the garage, and that's not going to happen right now. Yeah, and then the other verse that I heard this week was coming in on Wednesday morning, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Yeah. Going into this week, it was really easy to say, well, we're going to go do this project, we're going to go do this project, and we're going to go do this project. Those weren't the projects. The project was right here. Every single person that volunteered any time, volunteered any materials, did anything for this week, changed in here. It was really humbling to be able to take skills and abilities and perseverance and energy and to offer that to people, and really to be humbled when they let you in. You know, it's easy. Pastor Aaron talked before about, nah, I'm good. It's really easy for us to just eschew help, and for people to let you in and let them help you is just amazing. And to see people transform from, I don't know who you are, but I guess you can do work, to here's some fresh baked cookies, and it's hot and sunny outside, here's some dilly bars. And, you know, just to see those relationships grow and to see and feel how that has changed all of us inside has been absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
So for those of you who are here, I really hate being up on stage. I hate talking to a microphone. So, but I had to share. So as was mentioned, I kind of co-leaded the food team with Tiffany, and all the donations and everything came in. Everything just came together. Nobody went without. We had so much extra throughout the week, so I thank everybody for that. And then I just kind of hung around the office, so the center of operations for the week. And for those with little kids, the volunteers who took care of our kids were awesome. So thank you, Lily. Thank you, Preston. They handled everything. There was no question that the kids were cared for while the families were out working. So that was great to hear. And Ruby even enjoys her bracelet. It's kind of like our prayer time each night, which is great to hear and to experience from her. But one of the things that was mentioned is the change in the heart. So I had planned to take the whole week off. Unfortunately, circumstances just didn't quite work out, so I kind of split my time between serving at the office and working for the week. And about halfway through the week, it got to the point where hearing the stories of everybody that had been out there, it was, I have to go out, and I have to meet these people. I can't hear secondhand. I have to experience it. So I went to my boss, and I'm like, I need to take Friday off. I need to go out, and I need to meet these people. I need to see the jobs that are being done. So I got to experience that on Friday, and it really hit. As was mentioned, we had been involved in missions kind of before missions actually got started here. And initially was, okay, great. We can go out, and we can work in the community. My heart was on more of the international stuff and everything, but we had to start somewhere. And this somewhere changed. I got to meet Jenny, who is here today, so thank you. And she's an awesome person. Got to talk with her. I got to meet one of the other nominees and everything, and it was changing. I just don't know how to explain it. So if you ever get the chance to help next year, because there's no doubt we're doing this again, I encourage you, even if it's one day that you can get there, a half day, just come out, because everybody needs it.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Russ mentioned that there were people involved that were on the out team, the people who could connect on a level other than the level of the job. And so I want to invite one of those Ouch team members, Amy Rustin. Would you please come on up? Yeah, Russ made reference to the idea that I don't really get emotional. It's getting close, y'all.
And I cry at everything, and anyone that knows me knows that, and I feel like this is really unfair to put me up after all of you who I'm already crying, and it's hard for me to get through anything without crying, and when it's something I'm passionate about, I cry very easily. So I am Amy. I was the Ouch team lead, so our job was to go out into the community with all the nominations that everyone turned in and see how we could meet needs. And more than just meeting the project needs that everyone went out and did, but love on them. And so for the months leading up to this last week, we went out and we, for the most part, cold knocked on people's doors, which was a little intimidating at first and scary for a lot of the team. But when you talk about those walls being broken down and hearts being opened up, for the team members that went out and did that, you could just see that change as well, and that was amazing, because I think I went out on, there was some that I went to by myself, well, not by myself, Tammy, with
that's against the rules.
Someone in tow at all times, because that would not be okay to go out by myself, but, I'm one of those people that I just choose to believe that people are mostly good, so if I pray about it and I feel like I'm going to go out and do it, then I just go out and do it. But I went along with 9 out of the 12 nominees that we had, either by myself or with one of my team members, to visit these houses. And there were several where one woman, she yelled at me when I opened the door and said, "I don't need your help. I don't need anything. I can't do anything for you. I don't need your help." And I just, it's okay. I explained who I was again and just said, you know, I'm here to see what I can do for you. Can I talk to you about how I can help you? And now we have gone from that to I've scheduled a doctor appointment for this woman and I'm taking her to go sit with her doctor so that she can understand what the doctor is saying and I can help explain what's going on with her. And this is someone that she's been hurt a lot. She's had a hard life and she needs to learn how to trust. And so we've gone from almost slamming the door in my face to she's let people into her house and she's let us fix the code on her door lock so that she can get into her house. I mean, that's huge. I just wrote down my list of a few of the jobs so I wouldn't forget some of the stories I wanted to tell, and Aaron already stole my siding story, so I can't use that one. But,
oh, I didn't know.
Let's see. One of my Ouch team members that went out later in the week that met with a family that we had only met with very briefly before we went out, and she said, "I spent the entire time I was there, so like 4 or 5 hours just sitting and talking with these people," and they shared, I mean, their whole lives and their hurts, and she's talked to them a lot about how they've been hurt in previous church families and just felt judged, and how great it was that she just sat there and talked with them and just loved them and let them know that, you know, we're all sinners. We all make mistakes, and we all deserve second chances, and we all deserve someone there to care about us and love us. And I thought that was an amazing story. And each night when my team would come back and they would share all those stories with me, just to see, just like everyone else has talked about, how their hearts were changed and opened, and some of those judgments that we have when we go out, because we all have them, mm-hmm. and we see those houses and those people, and just, I get it now, because they took the time to care and just to love those people. We had one couple that was mother and daughter. The mother is 90 years old. The daughter is 60. They've been living together. Well, they lived in that house for 47 years, and they're actually Pastor Aaron's neighbors. And she kind of suspected that it was Pastor Aaron that might have nominated her, because she said, "I've lived in this house for 47 years, and no one has ever cared about whether we needed help at this house or not," which was kind of heartbreaking, but she's 90, and we were doing yard work, so they had all these overgrown shrubs, and so we just trimmed them all, and we did bark all the way around and lots of weeding and cut the grass. But Mary, the 90-year-old, was out there with us all day long. And it was just inspiring when you think about, you know, my teenagers were out there with me that day, and they did great, and they worked hard, and were a blessing, and I think they loved seeing them out there and interacting with them. But there were a few times where my boys were on the ground, and they were, "It's hot, and we're done," and Mary is just going still, and I just kind of looked at them and went, "She's 90. She's still out here. Like, why don't you get another load of bark and keep spreading that bark?" But But it was amazing to see at the end of the day when I would come home and my boys would say, you know, how's Irma doing? Did you talk to her today? How's she feeling today? And those relationships that our youth built with those ladies as well. I think there was a picture of the teenage boys up there that Libby's daughter, her friends had come out and helped Irma. And last night she said to me again, you know, it's just amazing that you have all those kids that are willing to serve God, and you can show them how your hearts are so open to just serving others and helping, and that's something she hasn't really seen in her life, so I thought that was amazing. And lastly, I just want to say how amazing it has been to work with this team, and our whole church family, but like the King said, the interpersonal relationships, it was huge, and as the OUCH team members, sometimes I had to look at some of the project guys and go, remember what our job is, though. Like, it's not just about the job, but seeing them really just take the time to, in between the hammering and the nailing and the scraping, and to talk to these people and to love them and to let them know that we're here for them. And I don't think there was a job that we went to that they weren't a little sad yesterday. I mean, if it were me, I'd be like, phew, all these people are finally out of my house and can get a break. But we had many people say that they were sad to see us leave, and we just kind of tried to reassure everybody that, well, we're not gone. We're not done. We will be in contact. We will, you know, I said to several of my families, I'll call you next week. I'll stop by, see how you're doing, and it's just the beginning, so.
Yeah. Thank you, Amy. As Joe comes up, I just want to point out that what Amy's talking about is that's one of the advantages of local missions is we have the opportunity to, you know, have people have a conversation with somebody and say, hey, if you want to come to a Sunday service, I will pick you up. I'll stop by and I will pick you up. Or somebody was saying, I'm going to be sad when this is over. And we had one of our OUCH team members say, I don't have to stop visiting. Like, we have that opportunity when it's local missions. It's different from if it was international missions and we're spending thousands of dollars on plane tickets. There's some real advantages to doing this. Now, Joe was, he was on one of the project leaders, so less the heart and more the hammer, right? And yet it was hard to separate the two. What was your experience, Joe?
Well, I'm generally a pretty private person, and like Russ was saying, I'm more about the hammer and the nails and getting things done, but I hope I can get through this, because it was really a different week. I came into this in spite of going to reading the Bible every day and coming here and hearing the message every Sunday and loving it, getting disillusioned about the way the world is going today and the negativity in the media and the garbage that's on TV and the stupidity in our politics, it was getting me down. And after a couple of days of meeting new people in the family and the church and all of the people out there and stuff, seeing the love and the generosity, I mean, I'm not saying anything that hasn't already been said, but it changed me. I have more faith in the world now. I've been renewed. And like everybody else has said, I came away from this with a lot more than I gave. So I just want to say I'm proud to be a member of this family, and thank you.
Thanks, Joe. So that's just the tip of the iceberg. Every night we would have people come together and share, you know, just voluntarily, people would stand up and share what they experienced that week, and we'd just celebrate what God was doing. The battle rages on, though. The week is done, but the mission's not over. Revelation 12:12, if we continue in that passage, says, therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who live in the heavens, rejoice, but terror will come on the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you in great anger, knowing that he has little time. Now, this is about the future, and yet what I have seen, what I've experienced, is that when people get on fire, when they start shining a light, the devil puts the defense on hardcore. He gets really ticked, and he is ticked at this church right now. We need to not let our guard down. We need to continue that internal revolution. We need to continue that interpersonal revolution. We need to continue that international revolution that starts with loving our neighbors. And when challenges come, we need to remember the weapons in the battle are the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony, telling the stories. We need to remember what we heard today. We need to continue telling about the new hope that we have in seeing what God is doing in the lives of His people. We need to remember the power of love in the community. We need to keep telling the testimony. These are our weapons. Let's pray. God, as we have celebrated the work that You've done this week and that You've invited us to be a part of, God, we're grateful. We're grateful for practical things like the weather and few injuries. And yet there's so much more going on. Things we can't see, things we can't describe, things we can't explain, changes in hearts, transitions from eternity in hell to eternity in heaven. God, the battle is real, the war is real, and God, we thank You that You've already won it, that it's secure, and that even as we engage in this battle, and there are going to be ups and there are going to be downs, we know that in the end, You have secured eternity. There is always hope. God, I pray that we'd live out that hope, that we'd live out the love that You have for Your people by loving You with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourself. Give us the strength to do that today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to ask the music team to come up. We have gone a little bit over, and yet I certainly wouldn't want to stop that. I would want to just keep it going. I'd want to keep the stories going, and yet I want to respect if you've got plans that you need to take care of. There are communication cards, this little tear-off portion. There are some things coming up in the life of the church and in the life of the community. If you're sitting there going, oh man, I wish I had a chance to get involved or whatever, there is going to be another initiative going on in central Wisconsin that you definitely want to be involved in. You can read about it in your program, and you can see that there's an event coming up this week. Help me out. Is that Tuesday? I think it's Tuesday night. Tuesday. Please go to that. Go to that to learn more about Revive Wisconsin. Please go to that event because that's another thing that's happening that you don't want to miss. And I know you don't want to get involved with it without knowing what it is. You'll find out more about it on Tuesday. So plug into that and you'll get to experience more miracles of God. Fill out your communication card. Let us know that you are here. You can tear that off. And what we're going to do, rather than passing baskets, and I'm really trusting you guys here because we know the best way to get those communication cards back is to pass baskets. But I'm going to not do that today. Lynette, I see you in the back with the baskets. If your team could make sure that we have those available at the exits so that as people leave the room, tear off that communication card, put it in your hand now. If you have a financial offering that you were planning to give this morning, put that in your hand now so that you remember on your way out to drop that in a basket. If you're here and this is not your regular church, you're checking things out, you're a guest here, don't feel obligated to give money. Don't feel like you missed something. This is for people who say, this is my church. This is one of the ways I offer worship to God. One of the ways I support the mission of this church is through a financial offering. If you're saying, I do want to do that, but I wasn't prepared for it, you can always give online at newdaywi.com. Right now, I'm going to ask you to stand up and with the word of the testimony of the brothers and sisters, the disciples of Jesus, still fresh in our minds and in our hearts. Let's worship the God who makes it all possible. Share communion together. We've got updates from the past 12 months. We've got plans coming up for what's next in our it's going to be a short, beautiful, wonderful business meeting. If you want to find out more information about what's happening in the life of the church, grab one of these on your way out. I've got a stack here as well of our annual report. So take a look at that this week and come back next week. And once again, good triumphs over evil, right? Go in peace.
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? All will see how great is sing with me how great is our God. At home we'll see how great is our God.
Fun in the gym?